Coming up, a Chromebook you can touch, a sporty Galaxy S5, and a 4K laptop at an 8K price. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by NatureBox. Order great-tasting, healthy snacks delivered right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Get in shape with healthy, delicious treats like honey Dijon pretzels. Oh, baby. To get 50% off your first box, go to naturebox.com/twit. That's naturebox.com/twit. Boy, it's kind of laptop day today on Before You Buy. I think every one of us is reviewing a different kind of notebook or laptop style computer. Starting off, actually, no, you've got a phone.
Yeah, I do.
I have a phone. Chad's going to be the one.
I also happen to own a laptop.
Yeah, so he's got a lap in his top.
Mm-hmm. Or I got a top.
Never mind.
Anyway.
We've talked about it. I've reviewed the Galaxy S5. It's been out for a while now. And as Samsung did with the Galaxy S4, they've released some variants on it. This is the sport model of
Right. This is the sport edition of the phone. This is basically everything that you get in the Galaxy S5. What you're doing is you're sacrificing a little bit of thickness for ruggedness and a few other features built in. The main feature is that this is waterproof, water resistant for a little while.
The term waterproof/water resistant. There are technical definitions for this. What level of water resistance does it have?
This one is, I believe, it's 30 feet for 30 minutes.
Oh, well, that's not bad. You don't want to go down 30 feet unless you've got
right. Exactly. I'm actually trying to find exactly what that was.
They give it a letter designation. That's fine.
Right.
I don't want to worry on that.
The other thing that this has, just like the S5, is a heart rate monitor on the back, so you can place your finger over this sensor and it will test your heart rate. Other than that, the specs are a 16 megapixel shooter on the back, a 2 megapixel shooter on the front. This is 5.1-inch display. This is a 1080 display, so that's 430 pixels per inch. Of course, Android, it's 4.4.2. And with lots of TouchWiz. So if you start getting in here, you'll notice TouchWiz kind of right off the bat, especially in apps and settings and things like that. All your settings have different drop downs and a much different look than your normal Android. On top of that, they've added a lot of apps to sort of bring this phone to a more sporty feel when it comes to the apps that they bundle in. This is the Sprint version, so it has Sprint Fit Live over here on the home screen. You can uninstall that. And then it also has this little pull down over here, which has Map My Fitness and S Health as well. And that's always on the home screen, unless if you get a different home screen.
S Health is part of all of the Galaxy
Right.
phones. I'm not sure about Map My Fitness. You think that's unique to this Sport Edition?
I haven't seen the original.
I'm trying to remember. I don't remember Map My Fitness, so maybe that's something just for that.
Okay. It also has these people in the background that look like they're running. So
that's
get motivated.
Well, there you go.
Absolutely. I hope that you're excited about your
makes
S5
me want to
sport.
Leap to my feet and yawn.
right. And of course, it has like the magazine features. It has all these the Samsung TouchWiz features, and then lots of bloatware. This whole page, they give you a whole page of bloatware.
Yeah.
On top of that, they put the Sprint bloatware in its own little folder, so you can use this to uninstall everything.
That is, by the way, ingress protection rating 67.
Oh, well, now you know.
I looked it up.
Sorry that what I was saying before wasn't quite clear enough for you. Ingress level 67.
That tests for dust intrusion and water submersion only a meter for 30 minutes.
A meter for 30 minutes.
The big difference.
So I was thinking 30,
feet for 30 minutes.
Centimeters for 30 minutes.
It's absolutely right. It's 1,000 millimeters.
It's 1,000 millimeters.
You're absolutely right.
Think about that. 1,000, folks.
It does say it's not shockproof. So
this is the rugged design. This is the sport. This is what you get. Okay, well, that's crazy. Looking around the hardware, you got the headphone jack on the top. You have a power button on the side, which is nicely placed for your thumb. At the bottom, this is a micro USB charger. On the bottom, hidden behind a door here. This is a little bit intrusive, but that's what you have to deal with.
That's for the
in order to get the waterproof.
Oh, I'm sorry, the ingress protection.
Ingress the protection. There you go.
Yes.
You have a volume rocker on the back. The buttons on the front are tactile. These are physical buttons, which I actually really enjoyed. I really like
that's a big difference.
Real buttons,
because the regular S5 only has one home button.
Yeah.
And then the rest are on screen.
Yeah, so no capacitive buttons, which means that if it gets wet or something, you could still hit the home button without the screen screwing up because it's haptic capacitive. And so that I actually really like these physical buttons, which definitely sets the
sport
apart.
Yeah. So that's if you want physical buttons, that's one of the few phones today that still has physical.
Right.
All physical buttons.
Right. All physical real buttons.
Yeah.
The back sort of has the rubber. This is if you want a different style of Band-Aid back, you can get the S5.
Wow.
People are making fun of the Note.
Call this electric blue. And I find it shocking.
There's a few different colors. So they'll have blue and red and those sets of colors. So if you really want some sort of metallic color for your phone, this Sport is where it's at. It also does have a SIM card, or it has not only a SIM card, but a
SD card.
Micro SD card.
And removable back, which is great.
And removable back.
In fact, a little surprising on a waterproof
right
phone.
Now, it will remind you every chance that it gets that you need to make sure to plug this thing up with pop-ups that definitely feel like pop-up ads. Every single time that you do something like remove the back or open this thing up to charge it. Oh, and you also have to make sure that you have to put in the bottom first. Otherwise, there's no hope. There's absolutely no hope if you don't do that. Now, the battery life. I found the battery life on this phone was fantastic. It was really, really good. I took some screenshots of over 24 hours of having this phone on. I was really, really, really impressed with battery life. Camera performance was also pretty good. So here's a screenshot of the battery. Come on. Oh, there we go. This was 2 days and an hour.
Wow.
Now, granted, I had just reset the phone. So I had used this phone for about a week and a half when I customized everything. I changed the home screen. I did everything. And then I reset the phone back to stock so that I could play around with the stock apps that it comes with. And so this was the kind of a day of it kind of just sitting on standby on my desk.
What's the screen on time? Because that's really the key on that.
Screen on time is down here. Does it say? Is there?
I don't see. It's a graph.
Yeah, it's just a graph. So down here is screen on time. And then I picked it back up and used it for the rest of the day. Yeah. So this is 2 days. If you're someone who doesn't pick up your phone and use it a lot, I could easily see this stretching even further. So I was really, really impressed with battery life. When it comes to the camera, you're going to have sort of the same camera that is on all of the Samsung devices that feels a little bit difficult to get into because there's so many different modes, there's so many different features, there's beauty face. Every single time you put the phone into selfie mode, into using the front-facing camera, it automatically turns on beauty face, which I think is funny.
Huh? Mm.
Now, oh, look, you want to take some flawless photos?
Here's beauty face.
I'll take some beauty face photos.
Beautiful.
There we go. Absolutely.
Nothing that can do
nothing,
for me, but
better
you look
than
good.
Those
you
face.
Look.
Look at that. I look like I have the tiniest head.
A duck face.
Wow.
That's not a beauty face.
In general, I found that the camera was fine. It does have a flash, which is really nice. There's some photos of my cats in my sock drawer. Some Snapchat photos and then some kombucha photos. Anyway, generally I found that the camera was really good. So for the pros, It's waterproof, and it's dust resistant as well. It's rugged, which I really liked, and the battery life was really, really good.
As long as you don't use it.
As long as it, well, I mean, I used it. Well, then I also used, you know, I used it on a normal basis, and it lasted me throughout the day with, you know, 20% battery at the end of the day. So I was overall, I was very happy with
that. Now, this is a Sprint exclusive, I think.
This is the, yeah, Sprint version.
Yeah.
And so for the cons, I'd have to give it the software was very, very annoying. So unless if you plan, like, basically, I wouldn't recommend this phone unless if you're going to tweak it in the software department.
Or you love Samsung.
Or you really love
a lot
Samsung phones right. a ton.
That was my complaint about the regular S5. It's just larded up with Samsung
stuff. Oh, God, it's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible. Also, on the cons, I did not like this design, I gotta say. It's flashy. It's kind of...
The
absurd.
Plastic looks cheap.
It looks
to
cheap.
Be honest.
I really was kind of embarrassed taking this phone out of my pocket.
I want to do
the
something
colors.
Here.
I've seen all the colors.
Before you give us your buy and don't buy, do the heart rate monitor because I happen to have here a medical grade heart rate monitor.
Absolutely.
One of our fans who's visiting from New Mexico. Is Jim?
Yes.
Jim from New Mexico.
So put my finger on it. Hit okay. It says
because it's got a light on the back and you put your finger on it and you have to measure it. It looks like you've got 89 bits per minute. Now let's try this medical grade heart rate monitor. That this also measures blood oxygen, which the Samsung does not. Everybody's asking, does it make phone calls?
It does make phone calls. Right. Was able to make phone calls.
What's your heart rate there? Here it comes.
So the beats per minute is 88.
I think that's close enough for government work.
So we might actually be able to do this like both at the same
simultaneously.
Time, I wonder.
It's within a beat. I think that's good enough.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess it's within a beat. At least I'm. At least my. Yeah. We know it's not skipping a beat.
So it's fairly accurate. That's also good. Right. So now we get the bottom line: buy, try, don't buy.
Buy, try, don't buy. I would say on this phone, buy. It's leaning towards try.
Not an enthusiastic buy.
It's not an enthusiastic buy. The thing is, I felt this was a very solid phone. It was fast, battery life was great, and it has some cool features. It's hard to recommend to someone who I know isn't going to tweak it, because when I use this phone and I deleted the apps I didn't want, I changed the home screen, and I changed it, this was my daily driver. The moment that I reset it back to factory and tried to live with it based off of Samsung's apps that they put onto the phone, I basically didn't want to pick it up and use it because there's just pop-ups all the time and extra features on the home screen I don't care about. I'd accidentally click them when I was aiming for another app. It just became a really frustrating experience. I still feel like the hardware is a great phone. So if you're going to tweak it, buy.
Did you go diving? To the depth of 1,000 millimeters?
We did dunk it in water, but...
And it survived.
It survived.
Well, that's good enough.
Right. So, it's a buy. Please tweak it. Please delete all of Samsung stuff off of it.
It's kind of our general attitude towards Samsung stuff. It's fine if they wouldn't just crap it up.
If this was for your grandma, no.
If the Google Play Edition... They don't offer a Google Play Edition, but if they did, then it'd be a no-brainer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's Chad Johnson. He's the host of OMG Craft and Read It Up.
Who gave us this heart rate?
I told you Jim did.
Oh, Jim. Perfect.
And Jim's lying on the floor, so we better get it back to him right now. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. And thank you for your review.
Absolutely.
We gave now it's all laptops, notebooks, and that kind of thing. We gave Padre the latest from Toshiba, the Tekra W50, and he had this to say about it.
The Tekra W50A1501 is Toshiba's new for 2014 enterprise-class desktop replacement, targeted at IT departments, power users, and executives. To be clear, this is a desktop replacement. It has a battery, but it's not designed to run away from the power outlet. It's a notebook, but it weighs 6 pounds and is up to 1.37 inches thick. It has a power adapter that weighs more than my Ultrabook. It's built for power and power alone. The W50 is powered by a 4th generation Intel Haswell i7-4800MQ quad-core CPU with 6 MB of Intel Smart Cache, running at 2.70 GHz with a turbo frequency of 3.7 GHz. The CPU is supported by 16 GB of DDR3L system memory upgradable to 32 GB and an NVIDIA Quadro K2100M GPU with 2 GB of dedicated GDDR5. All that power drives the centerpiece of the W50, a 15.6-inch 16x9 LED backlit IGZO 4K Ultra HD display, capable of 3840x2160 and supporting 2160p content. The screen is beautiful. You could stare at it all day and not see a pixel. The colors are deep and rich with no discernible bleed-through. In fact, the only issue I could find with the 4K screen was that it was a little dim compared with laptops with standard 1080p screens. Although specs sound fantastically impressive, the fastest mobile CPU you can shoehorn into a laptop, plenty of memory, powerful dedicated graphics, a monster screen that is beautiful, and with a street price of about $2,200, it's a decent purchase for power users. The question is, does the rest of the notebook measure up? First up, connectivity. And the W50 has it in spades. On the right side, you'll find a Kensington lock port, the comically large power port, gigabit Ethernet, a media port, USB 3.0, and an express card slot. On the left side are audio, a smart card, an additional 3 USB 3.0 ports, with one of them doubling as an eSATA connector, VGA, and full-size HDMI. The front of the W50 houses a media card reader, and the underside hides a docking port. Toshiba equipped the W50 with Bluetooth 4.0, a dual-band 802.11abgnac Wi-Fi adapter, and a DVD Super Multi-Drive. The W50 has a full-size backlit keyboard with plenty of spacing, a dedicated numeric keypad, and a standard multi-touch trackpad with a row of status LEDs just below, as well as an eraser head pointing device. So that's all the good stuff, and a lot of good stuff it is, but now to the rest. Primary storage on the W50 is a 7200 RPM hard drive. Not an SSD, not a hybrid, not a rotating drive with an SSD cache module, but a straight-up hard drive. I don't understand the thought process of an engineer who thought to combine a high-power GPU and CPU, a load of memory, and a 4K display with a storage device that is slower than slow. It makes no sense. And Toshiba included a makes-no-sensometer in the LED that shows hard drive activity. If you're doing anything that requires even moderate storage usage, your experience will vacillate between awesome and awesome and awesome and. Toshiba does include some decent software like an auto parking utility to prevent hard drive damage in a fall, but all those little pieces of bloatware conspire to keep the hard drive active all the time, and that just kills performance. Nowhere is that more clear than in benchmarking. The W50 scored a 9967 in PCMark Vantage. That's well below the 13 and 14,000 that we've seen from Dell and HP desktop replacements. Though the W50 has more CPU and graphics power, the hard disk drive bottlenecks all that power. Unfortunately, it's not just the hard drive. The construction itself is questionable. The unit looks sturdy, but there is way too much flex in the body panels. You'd think that Toshiba would throw in some brushed aluminum, magnesium, or even Gorilla Glass to stiffen the chassis and lid. In all, the W50 is a machine that has a lot of potential, but is crippled by some questionable component choices. The Toshiba W50 A1501 is available now with a 3-year warranty. You can find it online for about $2,250.
All right, there you go. That's the that is a big...
It is a big honking laptop.
A honking laptop. And 4K screen, I think.
This is the power adapter.
Oh, man. This is a desktop replacement. This is a not supposed to be portable.
I've had it unplugged, and I think I'm already down to 70%. It's been unplugged for like 5 minutes.
Is it for gamers?
No. That was the thing about the review. I'm not sure who it's from. This does have a lot of pros. The screen is beautiful. This 4K screen
is gorgeous. The back is nice.
It's got
the
a lot of ports.
Nice.
It's super fast. The processor is super fast. It's a quad core i7.
But pushing all those pixels, gamers aren't. It's not going to be fast enough.
It's not fast enough. And then this is the big con. The con is, it's got a hard drive, a standard hard drive. Not a hybrid, not a cache model, but a hard drive. And that just kills it.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder what their engineers were thinking. I mean, you save, what, $60 with that move? The laptop already cost $2,150. Saving $60 to knock 50% of the performance off your laptop, that's just silly.
Plus no DVD, no Blu-ray.
Oh, no, it does have that. Okay. So this is one of those desktop replacements that understood that it should have.
It sounds like it's really a home media center kind of thing.
It's a home media center, but at this price,
right?
I mean,
that's awfully expensive.
It's crazy expensive for what it is.
And it feels a little cheesy.
It feels cheesy. This thing is super flexible. I know that people are going to break this.
Yeah.
The first time that you let it slip, it's just going to crack the screen in half. And that's the big expense on this machine.
All right. So your final verdict?
I'm afraid that I have to give this one a don't buy. Yeah. I want to try it. I really do. But the hard drive is the deciding factor.
Yeah.
If I had an SSD in here, this would probably be a buy for that price for the 4K screen. But with a hard disk drive, I can't give it.
You know, my sense is at this point that the PC manufacturers are stymied. They don't know what people want. They can't sell them no matter what they do. And so I think they're just trying a lot of different form factors. They're thinking, obviously Toshiba's thinking, well, a 4K display, that should be enough to drive people to the market.
No.
And I don't think even people want desktop replacements anymore. I mean, what is that for?
If I can get this screen in an ultrabook format. Exactly. Well, I mean, you can't tell because we're broadcasting 720, but it does.
I can tell.
It is gorgeous. It's beautiful, beautiful screen.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the stuff on the back end to make that, to drive this reliably, then what are you doing?
Father Robert Ballester, the hope of This Week in Enterprise Tech, the host of This Week in Enterprise Tech. He's the also the host of Padres Corner.
Tonight.
We call it Paco.
Okay, I like
and,
that.
And it's on every Tuesday night.
7:30 p.m.
After everybody goes home.
After everyone goes home, I basically turn the lights on and
do my thing. Show. That's awesome. Of course, Know How and Coding 101 as well. Just for that, you deserve some dark cocoa nom noms.
Oh, I'm kind of addicted to those things.
They're really good, aren't they?
Really good.
Mini cocoa oat cookies. All right, you can have some.
All right.
I feel like I'm training him. Good boy. Have a nom nom. They're actually called nom noms.
You're like a drug pusher.
This is NatureBox, my friends. And if you don't know about NatureBox, you ought to know about it. Visit naturebox.com/twit. Snacks delivered to your door. But and if it were just that, I'd say go. Do it. Enjoy. But there's more. It's healthy snacks delivered to your door. Nutritionist approved. They have hundreds of different varieties. It's kind of mind-boggling. Every time we get a new Nature Box, we've got new stuff we've never seen. Like, I hadn't seen those Cocoa Num Nums yet. Praline pumpkin seeds, whole wheat blueberry figgy bars, honey macadamia pretzel pops, baked cheddar potato fries. Nutritionist approved, never any high fructose corn syrup or trans fats, never any artificial flavors or colors, only good stuff, delicious. And if you've got dietary needs, you can get those served too. Vegan, you bet it. Just say, I want a vegan box. They also do gluten conscious, soy free. You can choose by variety of flavor as well, sweet, savory, spicy. You got complete control over your Nature Box. My suggestion, though, is get that first box. We're going to give you half off and get the best variety you can. You never know what people are going to like. If you've got kids, they're going to love Nature Box, and you're going to be happy that they're eating such delicious food instead of that candy bar from the vending machine. We give them to our employees, too, and they just sit up and go, woof, naturebox.com/twit for 50% off. I can't decide. I think I'll do the honey macadamia pretzel pops today. It's always fun to go back in the kitchen and see, ooh, what have I got? All the bags resealable. They're Ziploc, so you can have one, eat a healthy amount. It's a great deal. naturebox.com/twit. Hey, look who's here.
I am no longer Father Robert Ballester. I am Jason Howell.
He's stretched.
I ate Nature Box, and it turned me into
look
a completely different person.
Look at what it's done
person.
For him.
Huh?
So we got another laptop, it looks like.
Not really a laptop, although I'm not too surprised that someone might think so, because it's the Lenovo Yoga
tablet. It's a tablet.
It's a tablet. Yeah. So
can you put a keyboard on that?
I'm sure that you could connect.
But it's really it's a tablet. Okay.
As it is, it's a tablet with a stand that makes it look kind of like.
As the host of All About Android, of course, you're probably very interested in these. This is an Android device. Yes,
it is Android. It's the Yoga Tablet 10 HD Plus. It's $349.
Well, that's a good price.
And actually,
holy
I haven't
cow.
Seen where that camera.
So
is.
A 10-inch tablet. Okay.
Yeah. So it's a. There we go. Thank you, guys. So it's a 10-inch tablet, 1920 by 1080. Display, which is okay, although I find just after using it a lot that it's almost like the sharpness on it
it's
is
very
ramped up.
Sharp.
It's
extraordinarily sharp looking.
But almost to the point to where small text has this like white halo around it. Have you ever, like, on your TV, you ramp up the sharpness setting too high, and then it gives you this like white halo around detail and stuff? I see that in this display a lot, which I haven't really liked. All the more I use it, the more I noticed it, and it was kind of distracting. But it's a 1.6 gigahertz quad core Snapdragon 400 processor.
Okay, not the latest, so, greatest.
Right, it's quad core, but it's running the 400 processor, right? And it's got the HD display. And my experience with this is just in running apps and switching around and everything, I get a lot of choppiness in launching, or if I rotate it around, it kind of jitters before it turns. You know, obviously, it does it at different speeds at different times, but ultimately, I have a feeling that the 400 processor that's in here driving the HD screen might be a little underpowered. I got that feeling over time, and definitely while playing games.
Yeah.
Things really kind of slowed down and jittered a lot.
Well, at that price, I mean, that's pretty amazing price for what you're getting.
$350 is not a bad price. Yeah. That is true.
How much storage is on that?
It has 32 gigs of storage.
Oh, that's plenty.
So that's pretty good.
That's a lot for Android.
Pretty good storage on board. It also has a micro SD card slot, so if you want to add storage, you can. It's a 9,000 milliamp hour battery.
Wow. What do you get for that?
Pretty solid. They're rating it at 18 hours.
Jiminy.
My testing with it, I don't know if it gets 18 solid hours. I didn't sit down for 18 hours and then sleep for 8 hours and then come into work the next day with it. But, battery was just something you didn't have to think about.
That's amazing. See, it's funny because in every way this beats the specs of, say, the iPad, except for perhaps the processor. And it's a lot less expensive.
Yeah, but that's kind of a big deal,
it
right?
It is a
because
big deal.
You,
I agree.
As you use the tablet more and more, you really notice those slowdowns and everything, and it really kind of got on my nerves after a while. I wanted it to be just a little bit faster. It has an 8-megapixel rear-facing camera. The camera, as you can see on the design here, it's very unique with this rounded kind of barrel down here. This is where the battery is, by the way.
Ah, that's why it gets such good battery life.
And it's also like that so that you can hold it like a book, right? And it's kind of comfortable with that hand. Okay. They have different modes that support holding it in different ways, although no matter how hard I tried setting these modes and trying to figure out why you would want to switch from stand mode to hold mode to tilt mode, like, I just don't get it. Every once in a while I'd see maybe the color temperature change a little bit, but I'm like, okay, well, why do I want the color temperature different when I'm holding it like this versus when I'm holding it with the stand that pops out? I don't know. But anyways, so the camera, as I was saying, is on the back of this barrel right here.
Oh, it's in a weird spot.
It's in a weird spot, especially if you're trying to take a picture the way you normally
hold it.
That's
where your hand is.
Yeah, your hand is right there, and you're not going to get a very good picture. Let's see. Yeah, see, that's beautiful. It's abstract.
But if we want to know your blood oxygen level, we'd be able to determine that.
And I wouldn't say that the pictures were amazing. They weren't horrible, actually, for a tablet, and I kind of give cameras on a tablet somewhat of a pass anymore. Because how often are we taking pictures with our tablets?
It's not
probably
bad.
Not a whole lot, but it was decent. If not a little bit washed out, pretty much on everything that I took.
Ooh,
a little
that
oversaturated.
Red is having trouble with that. Yeah,
A little oversaturated. And I don't know what happened with my lips there. I did not paint my lips white when I took that picture. Okay. So
it's not a good camera.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it's the best camera. I've seen worse. I've seen better. But it's a tablet. See, it did it again. Maybe it was my lips.
I think you're actually...
Do I have white lips right now?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, thank you. I appreciate you just cutting this straight to me.
No, you don't. What version of Android is on that?
So this is 4.4.2.
Okay,
so
that's okay. It's not quite the latest, but it's close.
Front-facing speakers, stereo speakers on the front, Dolby Digital Plus, and I found them to be super loud. While I was away on my vacation, this was our white noise machine.
Oh, good.
And I left it unplugged every single night, and I swear, it was loud enough. You wake up the next day, and the battery is, I swear, it's sitting at the same spot, and it ran
that's
all night
impressive.
Unplugged. So
that's very impressive.
Battery is definitely a big plus.
Do you get the sense, what's your sense as a host of All About Android about how these are going to get updated? Will they go to 444? Will they go to L?
I would hope so. I mean,
it's kind of
this
a Palinovo,
only released,
right?
I believe this released back in April. Okay. It was a very silent, low-key release from Lenovo.
I think it's a good-looking tablet.
Didn't really hear a lot about it. It definitely has, I think the big standout here is A, the battery, and B, the stand. If this kind of a stand and the flexibility that it affords you, you can hold it like that and type if it would orient itself. If I had an on-screen keyboard, that kind of slots it up. Or I can prop it up if I'm watching a video. Or I can have it you know, flattened down to the side if I'm reading a book or something like that. So if you need that kind of flexibility, I mean, this is probably one of the few games in town that's going to give you that. If you're just looking for a straightforward tablet and, you know, it's hard because $350 is a good price, right? But at the same time, that performance really got on my nerves. Over time, I have a hard time giving it a pass for that. Because if you're going to use this as much as you hope to use it, then that kind of thing is going to bother you fast.
Right.
So.
Okay. Did we do the pros and cons?
No, let's do it real quick here. Pros, battery, of course. The stand, which is definitely a killer feature of this tablet. And, you know, I was pretty happy with the audio performance on this, so the speakers and the sound. The cons, definitely the performance. And that's a huge con, in my opinion. The display, I think, could be better. It's spec'd well, but it kind of bothered my eyes over time. And it's Wi-Fi only. There is no LTE connectivity, so you're locked into Wi-Fi if you're getting this tablet. Personally, if someone asked me, should I buy this, I would say don't buy it. Just because I feel like that performance is really going to get
It'll bug you.
Yeah. It bugged me a lot.
Yeah.
Having said that, you know, $350 is a great price, so use your judgment. But I wouldn't recommend my friend...
it's
you guys,
pretty looking.
My friends,
buddies,
to buy this.
My pals. Yeah. Jason Howell produces TNT Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. He's also the host of the great All About Android, which is coming up later today. It's every Tuesday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time.
And, of course, Android App Arena, which is all about the apps and not the hardware.
That's a great show, and we really enjoy that. Brand new on Twitter.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Thank you, Jason.
This
is also a Lenovo. This is their new Chromebook, and like Lenovo has been known for... yoga is famous for being a bendy. This one doesn't go all the way over. It only goes to... But the idea is this would be a stand mode. And when you do this, of course, it flips around. So the orientation is right for the screen. You see how it flips upside down? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of neat. I mean, and then you get a real keyboard. This is a Chromebook running Google Chrome's OS, which I don't need to tell you about. Everybody... by now understands that essentially that's a online operating system that features all of Google's apps and services.
I love Chrome OS.
I think Chrome OS is great for
a
student.
I love it. Yeah.
Jeff Jarvis, our host about on This Week in Google, has essentially said, I don't need a computer anymore. I only need a Chromebook. And it's true for most of what you do. If it's surfing email, he was a writer. He can write even simple spreadsheets and presentations. You can do that all using Google Apps. And the Chromebook, there are lots of app extensions. I don't need to go into great detail. Really, the question people are always saying is, well, which Chromebook should I get? Like all Chromebooks, this is a very affordable. This is a little more expensive than the one I currently like the best, which is the Acer C720. But there's a reason for it. This is $329. It has a Celeron processor, 16 gigs of storage, 2 gigs of DDR3 RAM. Battery life, they claim 8 hours. I'm more like 6 hours. Mm-hmm. It's not a super long battery life. But here's the reason it's a little bit more expensive. It's a touch screen. Now, there aren't a whole lot of touch screens in the Chromebook world. So having
they
a touch...
should all be that, in my opinion. After having the Pixel, I feel like really comes in handy.
That's the main one, is the Google's own reference implementation, which is very expensive, the Pixel. But I also feel like Chrome OS isn't designed for touch exactly. A lot of the targets... are very small, you know, and there's no real way to make them bigger. The biggest problem I have with this is the screen. This is a what they call a TN screen, the older form of twisted pneumatic screens, not an IPS LCD. And that means, and you can even see it here, it's washed out, especially at off-angle viewing. It just doesn't look great. They may, you know, they do that because they need to cut the cost, but you're already seeing one of the big problems. I had this problem a little bit with the Pixel, but I have it a lot with this. This machine does not have enough RAM and enough processor to really, well, I hate to say it, it's doing pretty well right now. But I found a lot of hesitation on this. I've always done the Verge test, which is
a
very challenging website.
Yes.
A lot of images. I find that if you've got a lot of tabs open, it slows down. And if it's anything graphics heavy, it slows down. And the hesitation, much like that yoga, gets to you after a while. On the other hand, Lenovo's famous for their keyboards, and this has an excellent keyboard for a Chromebook. It's kind of Mac-ish feel, that short throw embedded keys. A pretty good trackpad as well. So, you know, it's a nicely spec'd Chromebook for a little bit more with touch. It unfortunately uses the Lenovo proprietary power adapter, so you've got to have that SD card slot, a couple of USB ports, one 2.0, one 3.0. and HDMI, mini HDMI out to finish it up. AC 802.11 AC Wi-Fi. You know, on the surface, there's a lot to like about this. I don't think at that price point it's the best Chromebook out there. And I'm very interested with the successor that Lenovo is going to ship to this, which will have a better screen. It will be able to lie flat. It'll have a tablet capability. Now, that'll be more expensive. Lenovo's next Chromebook is going to be one of the mid-range Chromebooks that we've all been hoping for in the $500 range. Mm-hmm. So you get more RAM. I really think Chromebooks need 4 gigs of RAM. With 2 gigs, it just bogs down when you open up a lot of tabs, when you use it the way you're most likely going to want to use this. So pros and cons. I like it that it's touch. It's a nice keyboard. It's a pretty good trackpad. It's a great price, as always with all Chromebooks. The price is excellent, and you know, everybody knows the benefits and features of Chrome OS. So I don't really need to explain how good that is. On the con side, there is hesitation, and you see when I scroll through this spreadsheet, you see the jumping, which is really quite annoying after a while. Don't pay any attention to that strobing you're seeing. That's just because our cameras are interacting with a refresh rate on that. But it isn't a great screen. That's my other con. It should be. I would like to see a little bit better screen on this. In my opinion, there are less expensive Chromebooks that are probably a better buy for you. So I'm going to mark this a do not buy. Also because you may want to wait until the next Acer, the 13-inch, comes out with the Tegra K1 chip. That's supposedly going to be a lot faster, and it has 4 gigs. In fact, in general, I'd say if you want to use Chromebook, you're going to want 4 gigs of RAM. So I would say don't buy the N20P. It has some nice features, but you do want 4 gigs of RAM to use Chrome OS. Still, you got to admire these inexpensive. I mean, this is essentially at $350 netbook price.
It really is.
And it'd be great. It would be fine for a student. And given that it is the only inexpensive touchscreen that I know of in the Chromebook, this would probably be a choice if you need touchscreens. Otherwise, stay away. Get the Acers or wait for the next generation Lenovo Chromebook, which on the face of it looks to be quite good. Well, that ends our edition of Do Not Buy for this week. Did we have... No, wait a minute. We had one buy.
Yeah.
We had one buy. Chad liked the phone.
All right.
Chad Johnson liked the phone. Padre, as you remember, wasn't crazy about the Toshiba. And we have a do not buy on the Lenovo Yoga and the Lenovo N20P. They're never going to send us any more stuff, are they?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to our great host. You know, we do this show so that you can get an experience of what it's like to actually use this equipment. If there's something that you say, boy, I'd like to know what our TWIT team thinks of a product, just email us, byb@twit.tv. All the reviews are up, as with all of our shows, on twit.tv. In this case, twit.tv/byb. But this show's a little bit different. We also put a full version on YouTube, like all the other shows, and a chopped up version, review by review, on YouTube, so you can share an individual review with a family member or a friend that's interested in buying that product or shopping around. You'll find all of those YouTube videos at youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. Thanks for joining us. I'll see you next time. Remember, you gotta watch before you buy. We'll see you next time.